This is a stand-up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013. Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that makes you counts down things that make you say the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden.
How's everybody doing?
I'm doing good. You know, right before I got here, I was looking at Twitter, and somebody made a joke making fun of podcasts. It was like, make sure to start your podcast with a lot of fake energy. And I thought about it, and I thought, that's something we never do.
Yeah.
And I felt real proud.
Yeah, we're real ones on this.
We shoot straight here. usually it starts out being, I'm tired. I'm hungover.
just us whining.
I saw a cool doggy on the subway. That was pretty sweet.
What kind?
I don't know. A puffy one. The kind that looked like the real curly type doggy.
Yeah, one of those curly type dogs.
Look, I try to fill the air and you guys give me a fucking dog quiz, all right? It had the hair that looks like a macaroni and cheese. Next question, let's move on. It was a curly boy and he was nice.
Had the hair.
Did you pet him?
No.
I saw a really cute service dog and I was trying to restrain myself. I felt like how all construction workers must feel trying not to catcall.
Really?
Because you're not allowed to pet a service dog.
Yeah.
Really wanted to.
It's like a much gentler version of the like weird urge to go for a cop's gun to see if he can get
yeah.
it. Like, can I pet this dog without getting yelled at?
Yeah. I'm just in the shadows staring at a police horse with a handful of sugar cubes. Like, I could do it. Loves the sugar.
I don't think I ever really feel the impulse to grab a cop's gun. I definitely feel the impulse to ride off on a cop's police horse.
That seems a lot easier.
Yeah.
That would not go very well for me if I tried to do that.
I got an impulse to grab those cops' dicks. Woo!
You like cops? Hot. You into cops?
Am I into cops? Yeah. I'm not homosexual. I'm a police sexual.
That's worse. That's so much worse.
Is it?
Yeah. Being also, gay, fine. Having sex with cops, awful.
Also, I don't think it's a good way to phrase it. Like, whoa, that's worse.
No, I just mean like, I'm not gay. I just like cops. Like, no, just be gay, but don't like cops. Better.
Is well, there like a term for that, do you think? Like, I'm a blue boy. Well, like, I like the...
The other thing is, this is a bit.
I know.
That was a roast.
Oh my God, what a terrible roast. That did not... I hate that I am the only person without access to the soundboard because of how we sit.
It's called the patriarchy.
Fuck. God damn it.
It's the soundboard.
We can give you access to 73.2% of the soundboard.
we'll get you an iPad with soundboard on it, but it's going to be the most condescending. It's like a pink iPad. It's just like the sound of like stoves and stuff. It's just the most offensive
pans
thing.
Pans clattering.
Like, yeah.
God damn
the
it.
The sound of an oven cleaning. Self-clean. Yeah.
And every sound effect has a upturn at the end, so it sounds like a question. Like, you've been roasted? Like,
it's all vocal fry and people get mad at me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Up talk and vocal fry on the soundboard.
Well, fuck you guys.
Yeah, that got mean quick, huh?
Patty is now like sheepishly moving the soundboard toward me.
You want to give this a try?
It's fine. No, I feel like I'm probably the meanest person on the podcast, so I think I should be closer to the "it will kill" sound. That's all.
Yeah.
Mm. I think I'm. Don't you think I'm like the meanest one? You guys are mostly nice to me. I feel like I'm like very rude.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all comics, so we're just nice, like, I guess. Everyone's mean to each other all the time, and it's actually better because you don't have to worry about where you stand on anything.
Speaking of being mean, we didn't ask Patty how Patty's doing. Patty went on a trip this week.
Yeah, you went to Amsterdam.
I did.
Did you get fucked up, dude?
Oh yeah, you know it. It was pretty crazy. Actually, it was fun. It was good. I'd never been there. And they just have, like, we were walking around because we stayed near the red light. I guess technically we were in the red light district, but
I don't know. I don't know how we got there, but I guess
no,
we were.
But we were there. We were there. We were there for a weekend, and you do not get used to it in 3 days. That you just like walk down, and there's just like there are just
ladies
women
in windows
presenting. Yeah,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Huh. That's
ladies in windows.
Nobody's. All right. Well. Okay. Yeah. So that was
just
that was
like,
sort of strange.
Oh, put some clothes on,
yeah,
lady.
Really. And there's drugs and stuff. It's basically like when you're in that area, all like the places you would get souvenirs are just all Spencer's Gifts.
Yes. Okay. That is, I went to Amsterdam like in 2009.
Yeah.
And I had a joke about it where I said, like, if you imagine like the sadness of a tourist trap plus the sadness of a head shop, and that's like everything in Amsterdam. It's a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, in that, yeah,
I mean, not the like actual Amsterdam, but like the touristy parts are sad.
That's like the trade-off that Amsterdam made, where it's like the for people who live there, they're like, all right, you get to smoke weed all the time and like all this, like, you know, but the punishment for that is that you have to deal with like pothead assholes that like come and just like tie-dye t-shirts and like, you just have to deal with that
shit. And groups of like literally 21 guys for a bachelor party. That's the advice.
My one
blackjack, baby.
Can I tell you a very quick, very cliche Amsterdam story from when I was there?
Yes.
I got very high. I had just come. I got super, super high, and I was walking around by myself, and I went to a Ben & Jerry's to get an ice cream cone, because I was high, and who doesn't love an ice cream cone?
Yeah.
And they made the ice cream cone, and they put it in, they had like a little cone holder on like the counter where they would put it when it was done, and I was so high, I just thought it was a display ice cream cone, and I sat there waiting for my ice cream cone for like 10 minutes, and it was like half melted before they were like, ma'am. And then I ate a very soupy ice cream cone, made a big mess.
Oh god!
Imagining the raging inner monologue where it's like, was that there before? Is that my cone? Yeah. Am I being rude if I go for it? Are they gonna make fun of me? Am I like a rude American if I go for the cone? Yeah, they're gonna think I'm an idiot. Like, I can't. What? All right, I'm gonna wait this out and see what happens. Yeah, because
once you've like it's been out there and you've clearly seen it and not picked it up, you're just in a lose-lose. Because you're like,
there's no way.
You're like, if I pick it up.
I'm already in this.
Yeah, so. I already look like an idiot. If I pick it up and it's plastic, I'm going to look double idiot. Like, I would have just left, honestly. I would have just walked out and be like, I would have liked an ice cream cone today.
Guess I can never come in here again. So this is the one time for the trip and no ice cream.
Have I told, because I just repeat the same stories, have I told my like Amsterdam story on this podcast?
I don't think so.
So I went with some friends. And we got we did truffles, which are like the Amsterdam version of shrooms, the same thing. And then we were biking around in the countryside, and like we all wanted candy really, really bad, and like that was like the main mission in our lives at that moment. And so we went to like a strip mall, and we were biking on the strip mall, and we were like, "What the fuck? There's no candy here!" Like every goddamn store in this strip mall is just for different car stuff. And we were like biking around for a lot longer than we should have before we realized it was a unfinished Ford dealership. It was a car dealership that was still under construction. And we were like, well, okay.
So
see
this
you later.
Is what the people who live there have to deal with is just non-functional high Americans.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's probably pretty localized because like, it I mean, is, you yeah. know, so it's like, hey, just don't go there. You know, it's like, what if they had like legalized vice things that they don't have here in Times Square, and there was like a maybe a little bit bigger area than that. Yeah. You know, and it's like look, during the day it's fine, you can walk around, it's picturesque. You know, if you like, you know, I mean, obviously Amsterdam is much nicer than Times Square, but you know, there's scenery to see. And then at night, just stay the hell away.
It's also
know?
Like a it's like a pretty place. I'm sure that if you live there, you have stuff that
it's
you,
beautiful.
It's like,
there's great museums. Yeah. There's a big, nice, big park. There's canal. It's like pretty.
Yeah, that park
it's just,
is beautiful. The one near the Van Gogh. Whatever it is, Van Gogh Museum. I'm just gonna say Van Gogh. I'm not
it's Van Gogh. You did it right.
It's technically people will tell you it's Van Gogh.
Yeah.
Well,
but
yeah,
but they suck. So, yeah. No, I mean, I feel like it's like New Orleans. It's like they have Frenchman Street. They like or whatever.
Yeah.
They're like,
right.
You know, if you live in New Orleans, you don't go to the fucking boot or whatever. Yeah. You just go to your own thing.
We went to. I've come around on the last two times I've been to Europe. I've become a big proponent of the. If they have a McDonald's near like the place you're at, like the late night McDonald's run, because they have a lot of touch screens.
Oh yeah.
Mm. So you don't have to interact with anybody when you're like want to be dead, like falling down drunk. So you're just like, yep, I want that and that. And you almost always end up spending more because there's nobody judging you on what you order. You know, you don't have to like tell somebody that you want.
You don't
like,
have
three
to speak
things.
It out loud. Yeah. It just comes to you.
So I got whatever, like the their like fancy Angus burger like version of the, you know, which had some like stuff that you wouldn't get here. So I got like that's my. We actually had two really good dinners that were like good like real restaurants, but at like 4 a.m. I got McDonald's.
I love an international McDonald's menu, just like the weird shit that's on like a new.
Dude.
on a new country's McDonald's.
In Italy, they have it's called like McFritto Misto or something, and it's like a mixed fried seafood thing at McDonald's, and it comes in a little. It looks like a Happy Meal box, but it's shaped like a crab.
That's delightful.
Yeah,
it's shaped like a crab.
Really good. Yeah,
I wish
great.
Our listeners could have seen the adorable hand motion Eli made.
Did a crab.
Yeah. He did a crab when he said crab.
That's the kind of whimsy you'd expect from like a Japanese McDonald's. But yeah. Yeah. In Italy, that's wild.
Well, Japanese McDonald's they have those fry parties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best shit. I kind of, but that's that you can only do that because I think that Japanese McDonald's are probably a lot cleaner.
Yeah,
like there's no way I'm dumping out fries on like the tabletop of an American McDonald's, like the one in fucking Houston Street.
Oh god,
can you imagine dumping out fries on that table?
Fourth McDonald's.
Yeah, yeah. Oh god.
I don't. Well, that's like when we all went to Shake Shack after one of these, and we had to eat in the Shake Shack dungeon.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Additional seating downstairs, sort of.
Never do it.
Yeah.
If there's a sign that says additional seating downstairs, you will end up in a bus terminal somehow.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know they had a Shake Shack in the LaGuardia Marine Terminal. I didn't realize. That was.
But I don't know about Japanese McDonald's, but I do know my brother went to China in college and said that like. McDonald's in China are like nice restaurants, like not nice fancy but like more like mid-market upscale type deal.
You'll take like people on dates there, and I think it's not considered like shitty.
Yeah,
but that's also just always like, you know, it's like the thing of like the other or whatever, like if you go to Italy or whatever, like Budweiser is extremely expensive,
right.
And is like very cool and fancy. Yeah. Just always the differences.
It was funny when we went to places and like you would get like a beer as part of like your, if you had tickets or whatever on like a tour, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And it's like, what kind of beer do you guys have? And they're like, Heineken.
They're just looking Heineken. Like an idiot.
Or like, I'm still. Like,
yeah.
Like,
did you go
right,
to,
okay.
Did you go to the Heineken Museum?
Yeah.
Or Heineken Brewery?
Yeah. The Heineken Museum, it was extremely earnest. It was like being in a very long, they had like the process of beer being made, and it was like all very, you know, like very chipper people. And then like you go through this. Like
they
weird.
Still have the Universal Studios type thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They have one of the ones that's like, you know, when it's like it tilts back and forth and sprays you with water.
Yeah, but
and there is not a city that is more enjoyable than Amsterdam. Because I remember being like, oh wow. Well, I mean,
it's like one of those little cars that they show you the movie and then it
platform.
Oh, okay.
No, we didn't. There were no 40X. There were no platforms. We just had a you just go stand in like rows, like you're in like almost like, so like you're equating yourselves with like seats in a movie theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just had like the equivalent of like the, you know, yeah, like the Epcot thing, right? When you go inside the human body, and it's like, but it's like you're making beer.
Yeah.
And then, but then it turns into like.
Wait, does it not move?
The room didn't move. Not that I felt.
Oh, I thought it did.
Could
have been a different thing.
but you go through and like, so you're making beer, and then it's like the beer's going in the bottles, and it's like you're moving along, and then it's like a POV, like, you know, of like being, and then it, like the beer goes out in trucks, and then all of a sudden it's like, now we're at like a party on the beach. I was like, well, this is not really part of the making of beer. This is like, and then it's like, now we're underwater and there's a shark.
Now,
like, I'm not really, okay, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here.
Now you're off the rails now.
Wow, now the Heineken is at the American beach party. Whoa. It's in a cooler. Everybody loves
now
it.
Now it's coming out of an American penis. What's going on here?
It goes the whole way through.
It's mostly water.
Yeah. The pee flushes. Ooh. It takes you into the sewer.
Look at all that Heineken sitting in the toilet bowl. I bet it would still taste pretty good. I want to drink it up. And then a straw goes in. And then all of a sudden you're just like drinking pee in this 4DX experience. You're like, what the fuck is happening?
Right. And you get through this and then you're like, okay, that was like, you know, I have a net more favorable impression of Heineken because I appreciate like the earnestness of this thing. It was like a little cheesy, but it's like, look, they like the thing they make and that's good. You know, I'm not going to. And because before Heineken, I was kind of like, I'm going to get almost anything else. Cause I just don't like
it's garbage. It's not good.
Yeah.
But,
well, they have the.
Then you go downstairs and you get like a couple free ones as part of like the, because they have like a little like party area. And it's like the stickiest floor I've ever experienced in my life. It's like frat house times 10, like a nightmare. Like everyone just pouring it on the ground. Like what's going on here?
But they have the
like literally, if you stand still for too long, you might lose your shoe. Like your shoe might. It was like that bad. It's been
just
a long time since
Jeevas.
I was on a floor that sticky. Yeah.
Yeah, but they do have that cool Heineken thing that like dispenses it like at like the absolute lowest temperature that beer can go before it freezes.
That's
cool. That's just good. And if you're high, like this is very cold and refreshing.
And they had like the thing where you can make your own bottle and you etch your thing on it, you know? And it's like,
that's
pretty cool. But like, I'm going to put this in my fucking carry-on bag and like bring it. Like,
am I even allowed?
Am I even allowed to bring this?
Isn't it kind of expensive?
Get beer all over your clothes.
My
your
mom
back.
Used to work at in the 70s, she worked at a Budweiser plant. She did like data entry. She wasn't like on the factory floor, but part of their union agreement at this plant was that they just had open Budweiser taps in their lunchroom.
That's a terrible idea.
Well, they did it for, that was like part of their union agreement for a long time, but then they had to stop because people kept getting in drunk driving accidents.
Oh,
so
God.
They had to take it away.
That's like, yeah.
That's my beer factory story.
I hate that, at the thing that like startups always do it and stuff, where they're like, oh, beer, you know, like we got a keg, and it's like, it's 4 p.m. Why don't I have a beer and finish? It's like, I don't, me having like one or two beers and then working, I'm just like so sleepy and like shitty.
I also
don't know
like
why people think it's fun.
I don't like it.
Like all those
I don't like a lunch beer even.
Yeah.
I don't,
like all those places where it's like, we got beer. It's like, hey, I know it's not a lot of money, but like, maybe just like don't buy the beer and give that to everyone as money. Like,
if
I want a beer, I can buy a beer.
Oh, that's all those places.
Like, I can.
That's the startup. It's
right.
Like, it's
ping
like,
pong tables and not health insurance.
They're like, yeah, they're like, we got the best coffee money can buy. Here's a, we got a keg. We have parties here and there. You know, we got a, oh, we got a bottle of Blue Label. No,
coffee,
saw that.
Coffee is at least functional for work.
Yeah.
Like, beer
yeah.
is like, all right. Also, like, hey, I'm glad you guys all like hanging out here all the time. I'm going to go elsewhere and do other things.
I've but like, that was, never worked at a place where I've wanted to hang out after. I've worked with people I like, but like when I'm not working, I don't want to be at fucking work.
Yeah. Yep. It was just a mix of like being that all that stuff, and they're like Philips Hue light bulbs, and like they had those Philips Hue light bulbs. I didn't know that those were that expensive, and we moved office once and I was like carrying them and one of them fell and broke, and I was like, whoops. And this was, did you just fucking break one of them? And I was like, yeah, I broke a light bulb. Like, what's the, and they're like, those are $50. It's like, you can suck my ass because I don't want to pay that.
Those light bulbs last for 20 years. Control them with your phone.
Yeah, but they do all that shit. And they're like, free lunch. You get free lunch and all this. And then I'm like, okay, I am a contractor. Can you like pay my employment taxes actually?
Yeah.
Could you please? Because I owe so much money to the government.
There is a certain amount of like, what is the benefit here? You guys can control the hue of the lights. Is that it?
Like, yeah.
It's like kind of like sun lampish.
No,
right?
There's an app.
No, it's all different colors, so you can like.
Oh, who fucking cares?
The only foray I've made in that way, I just got it on. I ordered it from Amazon. It's like it costs like $15. It's one of those like smart outlets, like a smart plug.
Mm.
And I'm gonna plug my air conditioner in it and see if I can like turn my air conditioner on remotely. I think that's supposed to work. That's my understanding of how this
big seems, things for Patty.
Pretty
that
wild.
Seems like an absolute fire hazard.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Yeah, well.
We'll see.
Do you guys think about that? Like how easily, like my building has 6 units in it and it only takes one of anybody in those 5 units to like forget to turn their oven off and my whole building will explode.
Yep. I think about that all the time.
Same.
I think about it every time I leave my apartment. Am I going to burn it down?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty much everything about New York, though. So, you know, just think about all that stuff.
If somebody doesn't
secure their air conditioner well enough, it could land on you.
Or someone could plug in a Galaxy Note 7. And that was my attempt at a segue, but also I'm pretty proud of it because it's a good joke.
Someone was trying to on my corner. If you haven't, folks, if you haven't figured out what we're hinting at, we got a little bit of 9-in news for you.
I get my sushi from 7-Eleven.
So this is just a quick hit here, you know, because we like to keep track whenever Dan shows up because he's an object of, to me anyway, constant fascination. I find him to be utterly fascinating.
Well, and this might be like a big moment for him.
This is probably bigger than all the other exposure he's had combined. Like they had those articles about him at the beginning of the year in like the Daily Beast and stuff and whatever. I don't know what their readership is. But yesterday, Chrissy Teigen, who is pretty funny, also a famous model. And I don't know what else is...
Eli's looking at me because before we started, I was bitching about how I find Chrissy Teigen's whole online deal like incredibly exhausting. And he was like, well, she follows me and Patty, so you're alone there.
All right. Well, that makes me sound super fucking cool.
Okay.
Well, it's okay if you like her. It's fine. I'm so bored of it. Like, she's funny, but she's not... She's funny for a famous model. I don't need her to be in my Twitter moments every day of my life.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I think it's exciting when... I think this is particularly exciting.
This is exciting. exciting.
All right, so she...
this is literally like, Cass, like, I want to talk about that. I'm like, well, we shouldn't. I don't really want to talk about it. And you just were like, well, here we go. And you just launched into it.
I just wanted to clarify, these are my opinions. These are not the opinions of my podcast compatriots.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's wonderful. If I met her in person, I would be delighted.
I do.
I'm a little. Her publicist needs to take a fucking break.
All right.
Publicist needs to calm down.
I do agree that there is a general sliding scale when it comes to celebrities and stuff, usually about like, oh, this is a pretty good account for a famous. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
and she has a great account for a famous person.
I mean, some people that I think are pretty good. Kate Beckinsale is really actually pretty funny on Instagram, like legitimately pretty funny.
Yeah.
In addition to being Kate Beckinsale.
That's why you follow her.
Yeah, because she's funny.
For the jokes.
Look, no one's embarrassed about their Instagram stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's the weird thing.
You can
see everything everybody does on Instagram.
I need to really rein it in.
We've all agreed not to roast anyone about it. It's like, look, everyone can see what everyone likes. Everyone can see what everyone follows.
My Instagram shit, I like can't go down on the subway anymore. Like, I got to fucking rein it in. It's like too much.
What the hell is this guy doing next to me over here? Oh, boy.
Go. And then, like, I have to scroll really fast and then... And then I have to find when there is like, because I also follow some like legitimate like it'll be like art and stuff. And so when I find an art one, then I like stop on it for a long time. Like, oh yeah, that's good. This is what I like. There's not all these sponsored posts that are popping up.
You're just like stuck on like a Simpson ship posting meme. Like, yes, I'm just gonna keep looking at this for the next stop and a half until we have service again.
Oh god.
It's funny because there are certain people that you follow, you'll notice. You're not as much one of them. I'm not going to name any names, but like whenever you see like come across like a horny Instagram model, like there's like a lot of times like the same two or three dudes are already following them.
No, that is me. That's definitely me.
Well, no, number one is someone I'm going to show to Eli, and he can. That's a number one.
God damn it! It's so far away. I can't see it.
Well, we can talk about it after. Yeah. But it's just like it's okay. Like it's at least so a 50% shot. I know.
There's nothing less ironic than thirst following.
People just aren't embarrassed. People just aren't embarrassed
is
on
sex
Instagram.
Positive. Okay.
It is. I'm 100% like, for it. I would never judge anybody for it.
There's no.
I do it. Yeah. It's fine.
No, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't. I don't follow any of them because of their physical appearance. I follow them for their swimwear brand that they all have started.
Yeah. Look, I'm
they
just
are
here,
all designing bikinis.
I'm here
now.
For the Fit Tee advertisements. Yeah. I gotta get that Fit Tee. I gotta get those hair gummies.
Yeah, hair gummies.
I follow them just because I want to let everyone know that I find women to be beautiful at any size. Which seems like that's like a real rocket ship racket. It's just become like a body positive
kind of
back at the haters model. Like that's pretty powerful way to just boop, 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 all the way up.
Extremely. Because then again, like it gives everybody cover for following you for horny reasons.
No, it's because I read this article and it was like, oh, this seems like a pretty cool. Yeah, I'll check this out.
Look, I just like to see some of the scenery of the Czech Republic in the background of photos.
Yeah,
it's like to see.
We've gotten way off nine and news.
Anyway, look, we're back to nine and
nine and is also very sexy.
I don't know if he has Instagram. He probably does though. One of those millennials. He's always in the
That's true.
He's
big on Snapchat, probably.
Yeah.
I heard that. So anyway.
Oh my god. I'm sorry. I'm just imagining Dan Ninen's Musically account and really enjoying it. You guys know what that one is?
It's the one where you sing to stuff.
It's where you like lip sync.
Yeah, that's one where the kid lip syncs next to his like grandfather's like deathbed.
Yeah.
Right.
The only real Musically things I've seen are someone did a thread of a bunch of them where it's like teens dressed as Rick from Rick and Morty, like lip syncing shitty pop songs. Again, I'm sorry. We're getting off topic.
So. It was in the news recently that
this isn't even a number yet.
We're almost done. The old Prez is going to be attending the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Allegedly, he boycotted last year because everyone was a big stupid meanie head to him by pointing out what he was doing or whatever. And so he's going to go this year. So Chrissy Teigen wrote in response to this, Dan Ninen, please God, and then responded to herself and said, "Oh, you don't know Dan Ninen?" And posted a link to the YouTube video of the Tesla World 2015. Dan Ninen comedian, which is
iconic.
I think maybe the hardest one to watch because he does like a pretty much a true zero all the way through.
Yeah,
and just a it's flat like 15 line. And it's like 15 minutes long, which you know that's I mean he stayed up there. He's got like a weird sociopathic inability to like feel. I mean, I guess he just maybe it was supposed to be a longer set.
You
got to
do your time.
Well, he eats shit so much. He's used to it, and that is like how you get the corporate money is you eat shit. Yeah. For 30 minutes and 1 second, and then you get paid.
Yeah, like
that. He opens it with like, you know, thanks as always to whatever the airline is that like flew me first class, wonderful. You know, and it's like who is that part of this for? Like, you don't have a Jeselnik persona where you're like I'm rich and I'm awesome or whatever. It's like you're just like this is part of my Aushucks thing. Anyway, also I speak a little where is Tesla? I speak a little Belgian or whatever, and it's like. He says some phrase, and then he just proceeds to bomb for 15 straight minutes.
But oh, so Chrissy Teigen tweeting about him is the biggest thing to ever happen.
So she's got
awareness.
He's just a hacky comic.
I mean, he has
there are hugely successful hacky comics. There's probably even people that are like watching and be like, I think he's pretty funny.
Yeah, probably. He has almost 10 million. She has almost 10 million Twitter followers. I don't know. That's way more than anyone that even possibly looked at the Daily Beast thing. I know that's not like an exact reach sort of comparison, but. Yeah, man, I'm ready for a nine in Sans here. Maybe this is what gets him, you know, back. I mean, I just think it's amazing that Chrissy Teigen is, like, because of online stuff, like, versed in, like, shitty open mic, like, DC comedy.
Yeah, well, it could be, honestly, because of you guys, because she follows you guys. So this might be your
I actually
your
don't
legacy.
Tweet about nine in.
Maybe she, like, listens to Cumtown or something.
Yeah.
I would turn around on Chrissy Teigen if I found out she listens to Cumtown. Just be like, what are you doing with your life?
Screenshot a...
I don't even listen to Cumtown.
Well, Stav posted a thing that was like, oh, please do Tom Myers. Chrissy Teigen's going to get Tom Myers next. And I was like, Tom Myers, that's like the peak of it. It's like, all right, so now we're doing Baltimore. More open mic comedy.
Is that
Bong Hit Transplant?
Yeah, that's Bong Hit Transplant.
Bong Hit Transplant fucking rules.
Yeah, well, that's why it's still so weird to me. I think I've said this before on here. It's like, he was a DC punching bag forever, but it's like, all of a sudden, all of, like, weird online people are like, Ninen, and I'm like, how the fuck do you know about Dan Ninen?
Well, that's what's, like, so amazing about being a comic, though, is, like, we all know, like, 50 Ninens that are just as sort of compelling in their mediocrity and weirdness. And it's just, like, this guy broke through and is now, like, the most famous hack shitty...
He used to call the fucking clubs where Robert Schimler was performing and pretend to be the booking agent and say, like, you know, yeah, I've got a Robert's opener, Dan Ninen, he's going to be doing 50. And the guy's like, what are you talking about, opener? And then they would just do it. And
that's
then
amazing.
And apparently Robert Schimler eventually was like, who the fuck is this guy who keeps opening for me? And then that's how it ended. That's the story that I heard.
That's incredible. Like, can you imagine I didn't
being
know
like,
that.
Well, who's this awful guy they keep putting up before
me? Why is he always before
me? It's like,
me?
You mean your opener? It's like, what the fuck are you talking about, my opener?
Well, I think the thing about him is that he's super hacky, obviously, but the thing that, like, makes him such a good punching bag is because, A, he, like, clearly is, like most people, like, oh, I kind of feel bad, because they probably feel bad reading about this about themselves, but he is, like, psychopathic, like, not psychopathic, but, like, he does not care. He is just purely,
all,
like, the more people are talking about him, the happier he is. Plus, he used to do some fucked up shit back in DC. He used to, like, he had a newsletter of comics that he thought he was better than, that he would, like, send out updates on how well,
like,
he was
nice
doing.
That's honestly
like a nice
kind
man.
Of funny.
Like, yeah, but he'd be like, and it was like weirdly, I think it was straight edge stuff too. So he's like, I'm sitting here, like, on my,
eating
it's
a
always,
filet mignon on a private jet.
I'm just saying, if someone funny released a periodic newsletter of a list of comics they thought they were funnier than, I would enjoy that.
Yeah.
Like, that would be really
funny.
He's
also obsessed with, like, I don't drink or do drugs and you guys are all addicts and that's what's holding you back.
Oh, he's like a bad person.
Yeah. All right, anyway, that was Nine in Chat. So look for him at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. That would actually honestly rule, except for the fact that he would get booked a lot more because of it.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason. Everyone else involved deserves it. Like, all the journalists that go to the stupid prom thing deserve to watch Nine
and we
for an
deserve
hour.
To be able to view that.
Right.
But I don't want him to be able to make money off
it. Exactly. So let's root for against that.
He's gonna be. They're like, dude, I can absolutely see him just rising into a conservative, like, comic that gets booked all the time, and then they can also because he's Indian and Japanese, they can, like, call double. They're like, you think we're racist? We love Dan Ninen.
Yeah.
And like he gets his sushi from 7-Eleven and we love him.
Yeah.
So
all right, let's get this going here.
Number five.
All right, so you know, things are tough, you know, politically in this country. There's a lot of division. There's a lot of, you know, everyone's mad all the time. And every issue seems like it has, like, a sort of a sharp edge to it that is ready to make somebody fucking furious. That was a terrible, I don't know what I'm saying with this metaphor. Anyway, guys, look. Kirstie Alley, we know how serious this is. She posted a thing on Twitter. I'm not trying to be mean, but... .. like 20, like a triple ellipsis. Curling is boring.
Hot take.
Yeah, I mean,
hot wow. Kirstie Alley take.
It's maybe.
Like, I mean, I guess
you don't have to watch it.
Don't really have to weigh in. That's like, one thing. You know, I guess. I mean, you know.
Look, maybe a lot of her followers are like, I'm thinking about watching curling. I need to know what Kirstie Alley thinks about it.
I mean, it's a pretty normie take. It's like, I just had the Olympics on, and I'm just going to be, here's what I think.
Sure. If you have a boring Twitter account, that's something you would tweet.
Being mad at any sort of television program for being boring is insane, because
there's more than one.
You can do literally anything else with your life.
Yeah. That's not, like, it's one thing to watch this and be like, I'm mad that this is very badly written or whatever, but it's like, it's just, if it just is not exciting to you, like,
I love people that have to weigh in on stuff like that, though. I love, like they weigh in on, like, when, like, the new Chappelle specials came out. People were, like, at replying Dave Chappelle, who, like, isn't even on Twitter. And it's like, not funny, man. You lost it. I guess. It's like,
That guy, I was getting mad because I retweeted, like, a super funny George Wallace tweet. And George Wallace is fucking great. And then some guy just, like, replied and was like, this tweet doesn't deserve the amount of likes it has. It's like, well, you know, each of those likes is a person who
enjoyed this.
So you fucking eat my ass.
I really like when people, like, they assume if you are giving an opinion on something and they follow you and you don't follow them, you must be very curious what their opinion on that thing is.
Yeah.
Definitely something that I am super interested in.
That's also the weird inverse of like when somebody does a joke at a mic and is like, a joke deserves much better. Like that, like, classic way to to like sort of diffuse a bit going poorly.
That should get more.
Well, yeah. I think
I say, like, as I do that every time I say anything on this podcast.
I think there's a weird bleed over from this, like, consumer stuff where, you know, everyone's like, if I pay money for something, I'm the king.
I'm entitled to.
And then that crossed over to Twitter, where, like, there's a benefit to someone, but literally, like, one person unfollowing you is, like, completely irrelevant to your life. Unless it's somebody that you're like, oh, no, I like them.
Chrissy, no.
When people do people tweet and stuff, it's like, we lost 12 followers on that last tweet.
How do you know?
Is psychotic. Yeah. How do you fucking know?
Don't pay it. What?
Yeah, who unfollowed me website is, like, the most, like, this is a website for mentally ill people who, like, really need to find anything else.
Don't get me wrong. Like, we are all very online in
that's
a
only, how is that going to do anything
way
other than hurt your feelings?
Not worth it.
I think it's also the people that are still holding onto the shreds that they're like, oh, my, you know, like, Twitter presence is going to get me the head writer job at, like, Last Week Tonight or something. Like, they still think that, like, this is when Twitter hasn't been, like, a genuine career path for, you just do your own thing.
It's kind of nice. It's like a quaint throwback to, like, 2013, 2014, like, hey man, couldn't help but notice you haven't been faving any of my posts in a little while. I don't know, is there anything going on?
Did people do that?
That's a story that that was a DM that was sent from one person to the other person, who remained nameless, but that's one of the most embarrassing things I've ever heard in my life.
Oh my god, no. I'm like sweating now. Fuck, that's bad. But what happened when Kirstie Alley tweeted this? Is there more to this story?
Yeah, Kirstie Alley said curling is boring, and I guess somebody probably, and that's the thing, like, I like this response, but this response only came about probably because somebody snitched, because, like, I don't think, you know, the people who are,
that's the real own, is that nobody on the curling team follows Kirstie Alley,
right?
Yeah. 100%.
Well, that's, like, the worst, that I hate when, I'm sorry we're just complaining about Twitter on this podcast now, but, like, you say something and then someone tags the thing you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking snitches, man. Yeah. You can't snitch.
Team Schuster, which is the U.S. men's Olympic curling team, quote retweeted Kirstie Alley and said, we're not trying to be mean either, but your movies weren't exactly riveting theater, Kirstie.
Is she in movies?
Hashtag just saying, hashtag curling, hashtag Team USA.
Well, you have to say her movies are boring because Cheers fucking rocked.
Yeah.
You can't say that Cheers is
right.
Bad.
I mean, not a fan of Look Who's Talking. Right? Wasn't she in that? Wasn't she in those movies?
I think so.
Look Who's Talking, Look Who's Talking 2. I don't know if she was in Look Who's Talking Now, because that was the one with the dogs.
I can't
Neither
believe
do
there
I.
are three of those.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because the first one was just the one kid. The second one, I think it was like a
you
girl.
You know a lot about
it
this.
It was like a girl. Well, it was John Travolta and Kirstie Alley, right? Wasn't that the parents?
I guess. I don't know, man.
I like that you said that as an explanation for why you've seen all of them. You're like, well, it's John Travolta and Kirstie Alley.
I don't know.
What am I supposed to do, not watch
it? I don't look. Okay. I don't know why I consume what I consume when I was younger. So that was the response. And then she did like a different curler responded, you're entitled to your wrong opinion, which she responded with like a ha ha ha, like the laughing face, you know, the crying laughing face.
Sure.
And then she was like, hey, you guys are all right. I'm going to give them another chance. You know, we'll see. My son loves watching curling. He doesn't love figure skating, which I do, so we can make each other give second chances, you know. And then, so she, that was like, oh, that's like a heartwarming ending to the thing, you know.
And I guess.
And then, sure. And then,
here's a roast on both of you. This is boring.
Where is this
exchange
going?
Sucks.
And then this morning, she wrote, another day to try to be as sensitive as possible so as not to offend anyone, anywhere, anytime about anything. Good luck, rolling eyes. So it's like, so you're subtweeting the curling thing the next day.
Now that's you're being a bitch now? Again. Well, the reason I wanted to talk about this is because we were talking before on mic about how she's kind of like, she's conservative now a little bit. Like, she's like trying to be like, people are so sensitive, like everyone gets offended by things. And
that's like a popular thing to sort of lean into.
Yeah. Also, days. It's like for this one, it's like you just specifically insulted people. I guess there's like 10
guys,
them.
Right? There's like 10 guys.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's
do
like
you guys watch
like,
curling? What do you think of curling?
I think it's cool. I've watched no Winter Olympics at all so far, but same. Curling seems fun. I want to try it. It seems like.
My brother did it in college. He like was on a curling
team.
Man,
I like shuffleboard. Yeah. You know, it's
do you like shuffleboard?
The stones seem sick. Those seem awesome.
They do seem.
I would want to. I want to just like smash something like
someone's
beat the shit out of a watermelon with like a with a curling stone. Just like
go full Gallagher on it.
Yeah, thing, that also
move,
racist.
That move where like they let it go, just like
speaking
that. Like,
weird conservative turns.
Like that little like
yeah,
little,
the finesse.
The little You put your little stink on it when you let it go.
Yeah, you put a little stink on that curl.
I like that. But yeah, Kirstie Alley is part of that, like, there's something weird that's gone on where like there's like this unique class of celebrities, and it's just people who, because of the way everything is so stupid now and everything's so intertwined, like, it's people who are on The Apprentice or like their own sort of weird like bubble of celebrities who were like, maybe they're not all conservative, but they all are nice to Trump, like, if that makes sense, because he's like their former boss, even though he fired all of them, presumably.
There's like a level of...
they're his apprentices.
Yeah.
There's a level of rich you can be where you're outside of politics and you're just friends with Trump. Like, I think that that's like...
Most of them aren't even that rich, though.
That's true. I mean, if you're on The Apprentice, it's not like you're like loaded because you did The Apprentice.
Right.
I don't know if I got like hypnotized at some point and Kirstie Alley is like a trigger word, but somebody saying her name makes me... so sleepy and checked out.
You
like,
hate this.
I just
let's no, move just, on. Like, it's fine.
Like, and I can't. She's weird. It's like memories of her have been removed from my brain because I can't. I know she's famous, but I can't really remember. I guess Cheers.
Yeah.
And then, but she was like a big name for a while. Wasn't like her weight like
people
just
were,
like fluctuating a lot.
She was like
she was
in a
Weight Watcher spokesperson. I think, right?
She was in a lot of tabloids because she like would get big and then get skinny and then get big, and everybody loves to. Be horrible about that, especially in like the late 90s. So that's probably why.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like, yeah. The whole thing is very like, this is what I wanted to say before we got into numbers, but also like the fact that nothing exists. You know, remember people were saying like, oh, Trump's going to be so good for comedy?
Yeah.
And I think he literally has ruined comedy because
it's bad
like,
now. Everyone turn off this podcast.
Now. Yeah. This is, turn it off. It's just like, it just not, that's, I don't watch comedy anymore because I know what they're going to talk about. It's not that I don't agree with what they're saying, but I'm like, I don't really need to fucking put on a comedy special to have someone be like, look, people say gun control won't work. Take a look at Australia. That's not a joke. I really don't think it should be in a special. It's just like, God, it's like,
that's, you know what else isn't a joke? What you're saying right now. Hit the It Will Kill.
Toast in your own
little God damn it.
So much happening.
It'll kill.
There we
Thank
go.
You.
I did the toast in your own toaster. I can't see. There's cracks on the screen.
Wait, what's
I feel
toast
ice
in
cold.
Your own?
I feel frosty.
It's one of those libertarian guys.
Can you do toast in your own toaster again?
Toast in your own damn toaster.
That's a good one.
Mad about driver's licenses.
Yeah, the context is great. He's like talking about it's some libertarian thing. So he thinks that they should need driver's licenses, and the guy's like, "What's next? A license for
toast in your own damn toaster?"
And
you know he's serious because he swore.
Our soundboard is contains
also,
so many hidden.
He
gems.
Also rips up a dollar bill during that to like. Show his disdain for the Fed and like has not a great easy time ripping the dollar bill up.
They're not supposed to be ripped that easily.
Yeah.
To be fair,
yeah, they're made of cotton.
Yeah, okay.
Man, I used to fake dollar. I used to counterfeit money for sure at a bodega. I just got it from a 7-Eleven and I was like handing it over. I was like, please don't. It felt so wrong that I was like, if you use the pen, I'm not getting anything because this is for sure fake.
What denomination was it?
What 10? which is like the common, that's the counterfeit denomination.
It's not too
big. Really? How come?
Because 100 is too big and 20 is too like distinct. Common. Oh. Like smaller bills are better because they're not as like.
So 10 is like as big as you can go.
Ten is like
counterfeiting.
Like right. If someone's gonna like just like tons and tons of 20s, but 10 I think draws less attention.
It's like when you hack the computer, you hack the school hack the grade planet. System, you give yourself like a B+.
So. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Exactly. Okay, okay.
Yeah,
it's exactly the same principle.
Number four.
Okay, number four. I mean, it's one of those things. It's like
this one's political too. So
yeah, I mean, sorry to get all political, but. I'll just read the headline of this article. Fart attack. Plane makes emergency landing after passenger refuses to stop breaking wind on flight.
Refuses? That's. I feel like you're victim blaming if you're saying he refuses to stop breaking wind
well,
on flight.
Well, some people can fart on command.
You think he was I just feel like if you're farting enough that they're like, sir, sir.
Sir.
You're
we
probably...
must request that you stop.
Excuse me, sir. They're in the mentions. Sir, sir.
Like, yeah. I just feel like refuses is an unfair word to use for this
yeah.
man.
It sounds like there must have been some kind of medical reason. He's not just like, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I don't think
I
he's
like
having
to think
a good
it wasn't,
time.
It wasn't multiple farts. It was one that wouldn't stop. And he's just deflating. Like he got on the plane as like a big fat man and then his belly was just shrinking and he's like farting
the
it all
out. The people next to him are like, I have such mixed emotions about this. I have more room in my yeah. seat now. But
like, you know, like people want to look like bodybuilders inject like synthol.
Yeah.
He injected farts up his butt until he was full. I don't know where this
He's like one of those inflatable dinosaur things that run around. Yeah. Just like a man. Yeah. And then he's just letting all the air out.
He's like a sumo suit. He's one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's like 10 degrees warmer on this flight now. I hate this.
That would be the worst part of this much farting yeah. is it would yeah. raise the temperature and like the humidity of the plane.
I also, this is from some weird, it's a low cost Dutch airliner, which also... You Dutch oven to Dutch airliner. That's pretty great. Yeah. Just on some level. A real Dutch airliner.
So was it like a Ryanair type
plane? Yeah, it's something called Transavia Airlines, which I've never heard
fake.
Of before.
Fake.
It's not. I tried to look it up. It's covered by another thing. I don't think it's a fake story.
No, the airline is fake.
Oh, yeah.
It's a front.
But
and...
I was also saying, it was like, how funny would it be if there's some couple where like one of them was like, what is this airline that we're flying? And they're like, it's fine. It's just an airline. It's whatever. And they're like, I don't know. I don't really trust it. It's like, it'll be fine. And then they get on and a guy farts so much that they land the plane, do an emergency landing. And just like on the run, on the like tarmac, just staring at them, like, it'll be fine. And fart airplane.
You think the fart man broke up a marriage is what
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah. That was his whole thing. He was an agent to break up a marriage.
So he was, oh man, maybe he was having an affair and he was like, I know what will work. I know what will bring them up.
Just farting them. Yeah.
I'm bringing this plane down.
If you won't divorce him, I'll do what I have to. And you know how much I love cabbage. That's,
yeah. Is there any information on what was wrong with this man?
No. Okay. So the pilot decided to make an unscheduled stop in Austria. So it's...
Get this man some sauerkraut.
There is...
Have you ever had a fart so bad that you're like, I should see a doctor?
I don't know if I have.
I've definitely, like...
I've been witness to other people's farts that I've been like, you need to see someone about this. This is a problem.
Why? What is it supposed to smell bad? It's from your butt.
Yeah, but sometimes it's, like, really bad.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I have IBS, so I am, like, constantly, like... I've become a pro, and
I've never known if you farted around me. I've not noticed.
I don't think it. I don't know if I have.
That man was Eli.
Yeah, that was me. I was like, we only have four numbers this week. Transavia, book me a ticket. And then I just like crammed some Hormel down. But so what happened was that this guy won't stop. There were two Dutchmen who were seated next to a passenger that was repeatedly loudly breaking wind, and they were. This is the word they use is pleaded with the man to stop.
He will not be reasoned with.
Yeah. Just these Dutch are like, please, no more. And just,
won't stop. No. Won't stop with the fart.
Why? Please.
It's like kind of like German. Yeah, it's like yeah. close, but not.
I have one family. Stop.
The guy's in the rock, the one guy gets trapped with like the VX gas. He's like pounding on the thing and they can't let him out.
Yeah, they pleaded with him to stop and complained to the flight crew as well, which is also funny because it's some dude's repeatedly loudly farting. The flight crew just like ding. They come over and they're like, what seems to be the problem? Like, I don't know if you've noticed, but this dude is ripping ass over and over and over. It is still unclear whether he was suffering some sort of medical condition.
Still unclear. Any answers out of the sky?
Unclear. Yeah. I mean, how much gas can you have inside?
Just, hey, what's going on, man?
Like, it's
lawyer. What's going on in your stomach?
Oh, Lord.
Lawyer.
So they didn't really land it because of the farting. They landed it because it turned into a brawl. These two Dutchmen just started, and I hope to God he just kept farting every time they landed a punch. Like they punch him in the stomach, it's like just like
imagining a brawl full of just fart sounds.
You can't hold it in.
Good.
You can't hold it in.
You cannot hold it in while you're fighting. No way.
Wait, so this buildup is like, stop farting. No. Stop farting. No.
Please.
And then the belts
I
come off.
I will attack you.
And get up and start eating.
What do you mean the belts come off? You think belts are like, oh, all right. I thought you thought belts were like earrings where guys like take off their belt before they fight.
Yeah. Like, that's a much more reasonable interpretation than what I said.
Hey, man.
You son of a bitch.
Have either of you ever been in a fight?
No.
No, I got punched once. That was it. Anyways.
I wasn't.
Sorry. I thought that might be an interesting
segue. Probably should have. I think I'm just physically large enough that I get a benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, we've talked about this. I've been like mad at both of you because you'll be like, tell me some crazy story about like, oh, I got drunk and wandered the streets and had an adventure. And I'm like, cool. You're so lucky you're large dudes who people won't fuck with.
Love That's true.
But I guess... Dude. I guess it's the thing that would make someone fuck with you is if you were wandering the streets blackout drunk farting.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I do. I did, though. The worst thing I think I've done on a plane is I was coming back from my, it was like Kerry O'Donnell. I used to write with him a lot. I went to his sister's wedding, and on the way back, I was unbelievably hungover on the plane. And it was like an afternoon flight or something. I was like so hungover. And I got a gin and tonic on the plane, and then I like turn around to the side, and then I turn back and accidentally full just like backhanded the gin and tonic all over the wall of the plane, and then I loudly went fuck, and the two people sitting next to me were like, it's okay.
They comforted you.
Yeah, well, they were fucking before, and I let them do that, so
what?
We were even.
What kind of plane is this?
Transavia Airlines, baby.
What kind of plane is this?
Yeah, and then I farted
Wait,
on them.
They were fucking.
They were clearly like, yeah, they went to the bathroom together, and I didn't snitch because I'm cool as shit, and so then they let me fucking.
Also, because it's like, was it really any of your business?
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I said. And
And hey, they could be like, doing planning a terrorist attack in there. I've seen Passenger 57. Yeah. Okay, those are attractive people of both sexes. Yeah. So yeah.
They also let me go through. This is how visibly hungover I was. Is they let me go through priority boarding?
Wow.
They were like, get in the plane.
I was
this man in a metal tube in the sky.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was in college. I would always, if I was like flying back home the day. Like the next day I would stay up all night partying because I'm a fucking idiot and just be like, oh, I'd sleep on the plane. And one time I got sat next to this really annoying guy who went to my college. He was on the plane next to me and he really wanted to be friends. And I was so hungover and he just kept talking to me about fucking nothing.
Yeah.
And I just straight up vomited into the little barf bag while he was talking to me. And you know what? He left me alone after that. Yeah. So. Yeah.
People say, want to talk on planes.
You could do that.
The worst.
Awful. You could do like the Home Alone 2 when he just puts the headphones in when the French guy is talking to him.
Yeah.
The guy's like, what's it? And he just goes like, and it's like, hits the music and the guy keeps talking. It's like, you don't know what headphones are? That's not international.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of that was crazy on a plane with me is when I flew back from Vegas one time. I had been at like a bachelor, it was a 30th birthday party, and I was there for a week and we were drinking all day in the desert, then we were drinking all night. And I was so dehydrated that I thought I was having a heart attack on the plane.
Oh, God.
I didn't tell anybody because I learned that, like...
We're just going to die quietly.
Yeah, exactly. I learned where I'm at, and it's die quietly rather than embarrass myself. Like, take the chance this
Irish
is not a
Catholic
heart attack.
Death.
Exactly. Like, don't want to even make them have to land. It was like, I don't want to... Nope. And it was just heart palpitations, just from being dehydrated or whatever. And it was fine, God. You know, after like a day. But I stayed up all night. I didn't want to go to the hospital because it wasn't happening anymore. But I was like afraid, so I didn't go to sleep that night.
Oh, fatty.
Then I went to a cardiologist, and everything was fine. Everything was fine. This is years ago now. But yeah, that's how I learned about instead of making a fuss, I will just be a corpse next to someone. Apparently,
I thought I was having a heart attack.
And then they won't want to make a fuss, so they will just fly the whole plane with a corpse next to them.
It's just dead people all the way down. That's it could be what it ends up being.
I did. I went to the hospital because I thought I was having a heart attack, and it turned out I had pericarditis. And it was like,
what's that?
It's bad. It's gross. So I had like a pretty bad stomach virus, and so pericarditis is that your heart sits in this sac, and pericarditis is when that sac gets infected and it is inflamed, so it swells and it compresses your heart, and it legitimately does feel. But the weird thing about it was pretty terrible, but it's like a one-time thing, and it was from the infection. But I had always been like kind of a hypochondriac about heart attacks like that.
Yeah.
But now that I've had that, I know what a heart attack would feel like, and like it is.
You know.
Yeah, it's like way, because it was full on. I was like, I didn't know what to do, so I did what like they do from the commercials where they throw on the football with their kid. I was like, chewed a bunch of Bayer, and then I wouldn't stop, and I called an Uber, and I took an Uber to the hospital, and that was fun when the Uber pulls up, and he's like, destination, hospital, and I'm just covered in sweat, and yeah, and then it was like one of those things. I went to the hospital, and I was like, I went up to the front desk, and it's true, I was like, they're like, what's your shit, is it fucking... What's the
they
Bushwick?
They said, what's your shit?
Like, was it the Bushwick, God damn it, what's the Woodhull, which is like the worst hospital in New York. It's really, really bad. And I went to Woodhull, and they were like, what's your thing? And I was like, hey, I was like, how's it going? I am having like severe shooting pains from my chest down my left arm, and I have a flop sweat, and like all that. Like, it was just like everything. And I was on a gurney in 2 seconds. And like it went away, and they were pushing me, and they got on the intercom, and they go, Dr. Stroke to the ER, Dr. Stroke to the ER. And I was like, that's the worst code I've ever heard. I know exactly what the fuck is going on. And then I learned some different, like, so they did, I learned some different stuff. I learned that, like, if I'm not somebody who's going to like fight it real hard, I was pretty accepting. I was like, well, I guess it's over here. It's like, never on television. That sucks. See ya.
I guess I never made it.
Yeah. And then there was like, they were like, oh, it might have been a panic attack or something. And then they did a they did some tests. And then there's like, they were like, we did some tests. We'll get them back in 20 minutes. You can go home. And then they got one back, which is like some enzyme that your heart only produces if it was genuinely like in trauma. And then they just came back with those papers, and they were like, you will be staying for a while. And then they brought students around, which I felt was rude. They were like, they brought around medical students, and they're like, this person's only 26, yet they have pericarditis. Isn't that crazy? And I was like, this doesn't feel good for me. And they put me on morphine, and everything was fine.
You're like a circus freak. It's good.
Yeah, they did. It was cool. Put me on morphine. What are we talking about? Next number.
Moon pay. What a time to be alive.
So.
Number 3.
So Apple, are you guys familiar with this company? These phones.
Is that related to Macintosh computers?
That's correct. So they spent the past like 15 years building this like, you know, perfect spaceship looking campus. They like remade the entire like landscape of the area in like Cupertino or whatever, and they had all these crazy.
Doesn't have some shitty name too.
Approvals. I thought it was probably just like Apple. I thought it was just like Apple Park or something.
It's like the station. It's some weird shitty.
All I see is Apple Park here.
Sounds like a luxury condo bullshit thing. Yeah,
but so they built this thing, and it's finally open after years and years of presumably the world's fussiest design process involving like, it's like, well, this is way too rough on your hand. It's like, well, no one's ever going to touch this. It's like, yeah, but you can't look like that, you know, like, because they have like engineers who are like that about the inside of the phone. Like, they don't like how the inside of the phone looks. It's like, yeah, but it works.
So, who cares what the inside of a phone looks like?
That's what they're like. I mean, it's part of why they're good at design, but it's also like these are the sort of insane people.
Fuck that. I'm mad now. I'm really mad.
Fuck that.
Fucking aesthetics and design are bullshit. They're fucking tools of the bourgeoisie to control us. Fuck it. I hate it.
Aesthetics and design?
Yeah, just like people who are like, people who like fetishize design like Apple people are gross.
That is not... I completely disagree with you.
I hate it.
Functional design is about accessibility.
I hate it.
Okay.
There's functional design that's about accessibility, and that's cool. That's interesting. What we're about to talk about is like everything that I hate about people who fetishize a certain type of design that I feel like is very like represented by Apple.
I think it's just a oversight in like form versus function, where someone went, you know, like they got too enamored with the look of it and forgot about it. Like,
exactly. Not, I hate that.
That's not a, I don't think it's like a class issue. It's
no,
like
but
a,
there's the class issue
just
of like
bad design.
There's an aesthetic that is like so homogenous now of fucking like what decorator white and Edison bulbs and glass and reclaimed wood and all that bullshit. And it's stupid and ugly and I hate it. Continue.
You just don't like modern design.
Yeah, I don't. Okay. I think it's bullshit.
That's fine.
It's actually alt right now. Yeah. Like everything should be Greek statues, statues, and...
I just think it's there. It comes to a point where it gets like fascist, and I don't like it. But anyway, this is not funny. Get to the funny part.
I think the phones look pretty cool.
me personally, I think it looks pretty sweet.
So they open the place, and... turns out the geniuses who work at Apple, presumably a hard job to get, they were walking into the glass doors and walls like birds.
Yeah, like the whole building is like happens. Glass.
It's glass.
And so, it's, I assume, obsessively clean.
Right,
because
it probably looks
that's
really
like the vibe.
Cool. You know, the whole thing about glass is that you can't tell it's glass, I guess, if there's nothing behind it or in front of it shining off it.
Yeah, known for its transparency.
The thing about glass is you can see through it.
Here's the thing about glass. The reports are that on the first day Apple Park opened, 7 people injured themselves by walking straight into the glass doors. Now, that has to be your hurt enough.
To admit to a stranger walked into a glass.
I think to your boss or a coworker at Apple, like, you know, like we're all really smart. Everything is like, this is one of the like the richest company in the world, like the, you know, the brain trust of humanity. Hey, so I just walked into the door.
Yeah, no, that's. I mean, I think I read it. That's 7 people who received medical attention.
Yeah.
Which I assume it's probably broken nose. Like that's what you do. You walk in a glass, you break it. Like I like that would be a thing that you can now recognize, like Apple employees around, what is it, Cupertino? Where like
broken
you just
noses.
See somebody with like a splint on their nose, you're like Apple, huh?
It's like cool, like, man.
Yeah.
Apparently people were putting post-its on the, so like there's like a clear indication there's something, you know, there's like it's a wall and not nothing. And other people were taking those down because it's bad for the design aesthetic. And that, look, I mean...
There's where I agree. Like, that, it's like, just admit
we've crossed over beyond a function. This is beyond a functionality.
Yeah, it's just, like, the obsession with how this stuff looks. Like, it's a fucking office building.
Right.
Like, this is where you... This is not for your consumers. This is just to like go with your brand identity, and people are. It's so non-functional.
And look, you know, Apple's been kind of doing
sci-fi nerds who want everything to look like fucking Blade Runner, and like it's like those things are not functional. Like, you know, those like computers they always have in sci-fi where it's just a sheet of glass and stuff appears on it. Do you know how bad for visibility that would be? Like the glare on that would be unbelievable. I just think about this a lot. I'm sorry, but like. I get bad enough glare on a regular computer screen. You put this shit in a pane of glass.
This is like a lot more depth to the segment than just, hey, a bunch of nerds are walking into walls.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I thought we'd
learn
that minimalism is fascism.
You know what? Other podcasts might take the funny route through this. We're just going to get real worked up about the political implications of nerds walking into glass.
Fucking wild up. I'm mad as hell.
Sorry.
These guys.
I feel like this is my
fault. Should
be
nationalized. They also fucked up with their the HomePod, which is like that really expensive speaker that only plays Apple Music.
Why did they fuck up with it?
It's supposed to be sound really good. It's supposed to all those things, but you can't use it for like directly like for Spotify or anything like that.
You have to use it with Apple AirPlay.
Like, so you can't use like Siri for like play Spotify or play. You know, it's like limited to Apple
stuff. Because
they're
trying to force Apple Music.
Well, at least initially. Apparently, if you put it on a wood, like a polished wood table. The bottom, there's like a silicone like ring that, you know, is like the bottom of the thing. People are reporting that it's leaving a white white ring in the polish. And apparently,
HomePod,
if you take it off,
coming all over my table.
If you take it off and you let it sit for, or you kind of rub, most of the time it goes away. But it's like, guys, like, come on. Like,
it's because they don't have any wood. Hey, it's all the glass and metal.
Hey, we got a really expensive speaker. It's kind of limited in what it can do.
Let me put
really
it on my very fancy wood table.
Let me just, you know how, like, you know, the speaker it's designed to be put on stuff? Well, not all stuff. Okay, guys, you got to limit it too. It's like when they had the problem with the antenna, which I think was overblown, but like when they made the stupid comment of saying like you're holding it wrong, it's like you're going to get fucking smoked for this because people want to make fun of you anyway.
Well, it's insane for a professional designer to say you're holding it wrong because it's like the way that the way that people hold it should be part of your
design.
That's part of design.
Yeah. I don't know about Apple because I don't pay attention to gadgets and stuff, but the version of this that I am familiar with is Lululemon a while ago. They make like really expensive yoga pants. Yeah. Their yoga pants were getting see-through in the butt, and they were just like,
nice.
Maybe your butts are too just fat. Kidding. That's what they said. They were like, sorry, you're wearing the wrong size leggings because you're too fat, and that's why they're see-through.
Was stretching them out too much?
You're stretching them too much. So you should lose some weight.
Well, they're like a big Ayn Rand company, right? So
yeah, they are.
So it's like, you know, well, maybe if you worked a little harder, you wouldn't be able to see. Yeah, that's
That's cool. Well, but like, why? I'm curious as to why that ring would form anyways, though. It's like silicone isn't some
shouldn't be
revolutionary
leaking.
Material.
It has to do with like the damping process. I don't know.
Like,
I don't know.
It gets like imprinted with vibration into the wood.
Yeah. Fuck Apple Music. That's I kind of want one of those speakers. I feel like those speakers are not for New York because it's like fill the entire room with music. It. And I'm like, right. I can do that with
it's like
my
getting,
phone.
It's like getting a big getting a big sound bar. It's like I'm 6 feet from the TV.
Yeah, you know, Apple Music is so shitty. I don't understand why they did that. They had I was like, I have Spotify for streaming and then I have iTunes for music that is like offline that I can purchase, which like in New York is pretty important because you're on the subway a lot. And then they were like, actually, we're going to abandon a pretty successful thing we have going to badly do something that someone already controls the market.
I don't even know how to use iTunes anymore.
I don't use it.
It's so like aggressively anti-user friendly, which is so weird because that's like what Apple's supposed to be all about. I don't get it.
I just don't open it anymore.
Number two.
I love when we add a number just like, I just don't know what to do about it. Anyways.
Look, it's been a slow week. Everybody's watching the Olympics.
Yeah, slow and sad week. Not a funny week.
Yeah, not a funny week. Like, kind of a bummer, honestly.
Yeah, our like group chats for the podcast and stuff, like weeks like this, it's just like, what do we want to talk about? And it's like, what happened? And it's like, well, we all know. It's just like, God, I mean,
a bunch of people died in a horrible shooting. Yeah. What can we do with that?
You know what would be hilarious? Let's riff on that time that legislators like didn't ban assault weapons after the shooting while the fucking survivors were in the room. That would be fun to just little do
yeah, but
some
that's not fair.
Goofs on.
You can't make legislators be accountable to their constituents in person. That's not how that works.
No.
Guys, you really ruined my lighthearted segue into this one.
Let's hold on. We'll clear the air. Where is it? Oh no, I can't find it.
Moon Pay. What a time to be alive.
Toast in your own damn toaster.
to be toast in your own damn toaster.
1-2 punch.
Yeah, I was trying to do a remix.
So the Olympics is this week. I have not really been watching. Have you, Eli? You said you haven't. None of us have.
I saw some bobsledding at a bar.
The one thing that even us non-Olympic watchers know about is this woman, Elizabeth Swanee, who made it to the Olympics in the women's free ski halfpipe and just didn't fucking do anything. Just skied down like... it's not like she like doesn't know how to ski, but like she definitely doesn't know how to do the thing that you're supposed to be doing, which is tricks.
Right. It's like if she was playing if it was a snowboarding video or skiing video game, she like didn't do any moves.
Yeah,
she just went down.
She used the arrows. Yeah. She didn't use any of A, B, C, D.
You don't even
need
you could just leave the controller on the couch and you just sort of go up and then come back down and land.
That's exactly what she did. She left the controller on the couch and
right. And so the obvious question is who is this fucking person?
Yeah.
Like
And it gets even weirder because she was competing for Hungary, mm-hmm. but she's American. She was born in California. She can compete for Hungary because her grandparents are from Hungary. And I guess because of the way like the quotas work and how many participants you can have from each country, and they have to be in the top, you're supposed to score in the top 30 and all this stuff. Basically, she just finagled her way into qualifying by doing exactly what she did at the Olympics in multiple skiing events for the last like 5 years.
Right. She
like,
just went down the hill like yeah. that many times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody else like tried to but fell.
Well, she would usually come in. So you have to be in the top 30 of a bunch of X number of events to qualify. And so she would go to small events with that had either less than 30 or around 30. And she would either place dead last but be above 30, or she would do what she did, but other people would fall, and so she would beat them.
Right, and there's like, because they want them to be inclusive, this is all participation trophy shit, right? You know, it should be all Americans if that's the way it's going. No, but yeah, like there's like a maximum of 4 per delegation, so like they have to spread it out. And if Hungary doesn't have anybody else competing, she can just kind of edge her way in there, and she's in there.
Oh my god!
And
it's a pretty great bit. I mean, like, it's happened before. I think there was somebody in the Summer Olympics who was like some random like guy who worked at like a financial firm who like had, and he was just like running in something. And it's like, this guy's not an Olympic athlete.
It is funny because like I remember there was like, it wasn't quite the same situation, but like in the Summer Olympics, sometimes you would have countries where like diving wasn't a thing and they would send people and they would just belly flop into the water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's the fucking best.
What was that? There was what was the one country that just like, yeah, they were literally just like belly flopping.
Yeah, that ruled.
That was so awesome. And yet, I hate this. I'm mad about this. I'm so heated.
No, I'm heated too now. Like, it would be cool if she ate shit. Like, that would be when this is funny. But, like, just like this person, just like, like everybody's looking at me. Like, that's just like shitty things.
It's
God.
The amount of like economic privilege you have to travel around the world doing this for years in order to get to the Olympics and not even get better at it. Like, she didn't even learn one trick in that 4 years.
And you know, like, I want to spend like the rest of my life, like this is gonna sound weird, like following her around with my phone with the video, because I know just based on this that she's gonna be every time at a party at a bar, she's like, I actually competed in the Olympics.
Ugh.
And because it'll be later and nobody remembers the Olympics a month after they happen or whatever, like it's like 1 month of like Apollo Ono doing every Subway ad, and then 2 months later they're like, Olympic?
Yeah.
What is? And just so every time she's like, oh, it's actually Olympic. I'm like, yeah, she was. Here, look, she's really bad.
And like she says that she's doing this because she wants to inspire people, and it was like her childhood dream or whatever. It's like,
that's what they all fucking say.
Your childhood dream should be to be good at a fucking sport, not to get to the Olympics. Like, you don't even know how to do anything.
I'm trying to inspire people. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You're trying. Unless you are an inspiring figure for like real reasons, when people are like, "I'm just trying to inspire people," what you're saying is, "I just want to succeed, but I don't want it to seem selfish."
I just did an episode of Lie, Cheat, and Steal about somebody who's kind of like that, who used that kind of like,
yeah,
I just want to inspire people by achieving my dreams. You're so narcissistic to assume that people would be inspired by you getting what you want,
right?
Yeah. And like helping you get what you want.
Like, oh yeah, I do stand up because I'm trying to inspire people to start doing stand up. It's like, no, that's just how.
First of all, don't try to inspire the people to stand up.
Yeah,
don't
too
do
many.
It.
Too many.
There's too goddamn many.
Oh yeah. That can
also,
be
it's not,
whole
it'll ruin your life.
Episode
don't
about
do it.
Yeah. Comedy right now.
Well, my childhood dream, which I hope to achieve at some point, is to seduce a wealthy dowager and inherit all her money when she dies.
I'm not even kidding, though. I was like,
alternately, I'm willing to wear a wig and like coconuts and like a red dress and seduce like an old wealthy like counter.
You
want
a Bugs
Bunny?
Dude,
I don't even know,
yeah,
man.
Bugs Bunny it.
Back when like my back when I like wasn't
call that scam the Spanish
balding
romance.
And my metabolism was better, I was like, what if I just go to like an Equinox on like Upper East Side and just try to like
pick
literally
up old babes.
Yeah, yeah.
To try to land a divorcee.
I used to joke about that. Like, if I like had spent my college money on like fake boobs and a nose job and something, I would just yeah, I'll be a mafia wife. Cool. Like, I just feel like that.
Just stirring a big pot of sauce.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
We only hung out with each other.
I love fur coats.
Just Karen.
I love
just Karen in Goodfellas, but it's Kath.
I don't know. I mean, apparently Austin was like a big sugar daddy, sugar baby town. Like, there's a ton of that there.
Yeah.
Well, there's that app. Because there was a
Seeking Arrangement.
Yeah, there was
big in Austin. A lot of UT kids, a lot of UT girls using that.
At Secret Meeting one time, that's the Pine Box show I have. Like, there was a woman that was there, and yeah, she was like, we were like, what do you do? And she was just straight up. She was like, and she was foreign. She was like, I use Seeking Arrangement, and like,
Is the term sugar baby? Is it sugar daddy, sugar baby? That's pretty
it's
unsettling,
gross.
Right?
Yeah, it's not cool.
Sugar babies like those candies.
It's a good candy. Well, yeah, so the sugar daddies are candies, too. The sugar babies are the little guys. Sugar daddies are the big
little
guys. Look, it's all about candy, and that's that's what matters here. Just get some pay pigs. That's the ultimate lesson here.
We should also, I will say the opposite of this. It's short, and then we'll go to number one. The opposite of this is there was a, for like the slalom skiing event, one of them, there was a snowboarder who decided to just like do that and borrowed someone's skis and won the gold medal.
That's amazing.
Like set, like just like
beat. Just on a lark.
Yeah, like, and it just also kind of fun because you know, like that's like Johnny Tsunami shit too. Because it's like just some snower like I could do it, and then the skier's like no.
Yeah, the skiers are like
medals.
Oh, good for him. And they're just like you just hear their teeth cracking as they like grit.
Just some guy on the second place on the podium with a sweater tied around his neck.
So that guy was also from the party house at the ski school, and he showed all those alphas.
The dean just glaring from the crowd.
Yeah, the movie Ski School Rules.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
Ooh. Also, Out Cold was underrated as a fun snowboarding movie.
Yeah, it's good.
Wait, I have one more thing I want to say about that conversation. If any of our listeners do want to give me money to do non-sexual, but like, if you want me to like yell at you or something because you're into that, like, I will for money.
Findom.
Just throwing that out there. Yeah.
That's what the podcast is for.
Yeah. No.
Just pretend that she's yelling at you.
Yeah.
Pretend I'm screaming at you about how minimalist design is fascist.
Check our bio for wish list.
I'm just saying I'm not opposed to it. Okay. Thank you. Continue. I don't have a job right now. I'm very broke.
Wish list in the podcast bio.
The number one reason to say what a time to be alive this week is just Fergie just taking the national anthem and just really making it her own in all of the worst ways possible.
Really putting
it's
a new
like,
spin on it.
Are you mad about kneeling at football, but this is okay to you? Because this is like...
No, I think the people who are mad about football are also mad about this, and that's why this is good.
Yeah, I mean, I almost feel like people were mad at that.
I haven't seen this yet, but this is audio kneeling. Is that what this is?
No. This is Fergie singing the national anthem at the All-Star game, which also feels like a little funny. Also, there's a great story from the All-Star game. One of the guys in the All-Star game, I can't remember his name, Jimmy Butler, I think, was like, I guess he was out partying and he was so hungover, they just told the coach, he's like, you don't need to play me. And he played 0 minutes. He didn't play at all. He's just like really tired on
respect,
the bench.
Respect.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to describe.
Let's play it.
She really goes for it. So let's listen to this version.
Oh, say, can you see?
Starts off like all right, whatever.
All right. Minimalist, jazzy.
Early light. What's so proudly waving?
The facial reactions too they're showing are
the players are all good.
Yeah, by the end they're cutting to players openly laughing at it.
They show Anthony Anderson like trying to keep it together and not doing a great job.
Because you also realize this is going to be like 4 minutes long.
Yeah.
Like this is not going at a pace.
They're just like jittering. They're like, yeah, this is, he starts laughing and they cut away from
Jesus
him.
Jesus Christ. What are these weird, like, farty horns in the background, too?
There's a sousaphone.
Yeah. We're going to back up the end, though. Pretend like you're following a fat cartoon character around.
Don't do the sad trombone but make it sound as much like a sad trombone as possible.
That's the plane guy. He was flying to the All-Star game.
Yeah. Excuse me. It's him getting to his seat.
Guys,
Sorry.
Oh.
Oof. Rough.
Mama. They don't have to run this by anybody before they do it. That little part was bad.
Yeah.
She knew, one, though,
like,
right?
She really...
I mean, like...
Oof. I just like that nice quiet part.
Of course, Draymond Green's laughing. That's about right.
He did the
Kimmel's not keeping together either.
See, but she has these moments where you're like, oh, you are a good singer, sort of.
She knows. She knows she bombed because she just did that look where she just kind of shook her head after she finished the high note. Maybe you just get out of there, though, at this point. Okay, well, that was as advertised. That was pretty brutal. That's even worse. That might be worse.
Can we get the Let's Play Some Basketball as a hit?
Oh, we need that
Let's
as a hit.
Let's Play Some Basketball.
We need a button to get him back. We gotta get him back here. They're not happy.
Yeah, her subtext on that is like, let's move on. Yeah. Let's please.
Hey, you're not here for this. You're here for the basketball.
That is
100% like when you're emceeing a show and your set doesn't go well. And you're like, are you ready for your first comedy?
Let's keep this comedy train rolling. I
love the. You guys ready for more show? More basketball? Yeah. Some basketball? No basketball yet, but you know. All right, so I think that's it. We did a little bit of rambling this week, but we're going to, I think, call it there on that note involving basketball. I guess we'll just do some plugs and stuff. That's the part that everyone loves to listen to at the end that they definitely don't shut off.
I skip right to the plugs. Yeah. That's what I do.
I've never seen anyone go with the move to just put them at the beginning, but I feel like that could be a bold paradigm shift.
Yeah.
It's like, look, I'm here to promote this stuff, okay? So just get through it, then we'll get to the stuff. I mean, Marin kind of does that, and everyone skips that. So, look, people find a way to get away from the ads. So we are, What a Time Pod on Twitter and Instagram. What a Time Podcast at Gmail. We can be listened to on all the different places. iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, a new one. Or we've been on there for a little while, but we haven't really said anything on the podcast. It's called Laughable. It's an app that it's pretty cool. You can like search by different comedians, and you can see all the episodes of all the different podcasts they've been on, like across all the different podcasts. And they have a good discoverability section where you can see kind of stuff they recommend. It seems like it's like a curated thing, which is different than just going directly for the thing that you. Had heard about or whatever. It kind of gives you a chance to maybe find some new stuff. So check us out on there. Maybe someday we'll get on Spotify, but those guys are playing really hard to get or something. Stone I don't know. They don't take just anybody. It's not clear what the criteria are, but someday maybe we'll get on there. So we're working on that to the extent that we can. I am Patty Moe and all the stuff. And I run a show at the LA every Friday at Karma. It's like 3rd and 1st in the East Village of Manhattan. 8:30. It's usually a pretty fun, if weird, show, and we've had some folks who are fans of the podcast come, which has been really cool. So definitely come check it out.
I don't think I have anything, as usual. also on Do Karma and goodbye.
Wait, weren't there? Didn't you want to shout out the dudes that came?
Yeah, but Patty sort of did that. There were two brothers that came that are listeners of the podcast. It was really cool that they came to the show. Thanks for coming.
It's really
out, guys.
Cute that you and your brother listen to the same podcast and then go hang out about it. That's a nice relationship.
Yeah. I can't remember if they both listened. I think they both listened. One of them might have dragged the other.
Hopefully there's a new fan there.
If one
person doesn't listen.
We're trying to just expand through families. Yeah. Like spider webs.
I'm Kath Barbadoro on everything. I have two other podcasts, Lie, Cheat, and Steal and WrestleSplania. If you like cons and frauds and bullshitters, check out Lie, Cheat, and Steal. If you like wrestling or you don't like wrestling but you want to like wrestling, check out WrestleSplania. I have shows. KathBarbadoro.com. Is where I list everything. So thank you for listening and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.